Fly me to the moon. Let me play among the stars. And let me see what spring is like on a Jupiter and Mars. In other words, fly me to the moon. Let me play among the stars. And let me see what spring is like on a Jupiter and Mars. In other words, fly me to the moon. Let me play among the stars. And let me see what spring is like on a Jupiter and Mars. In other words,
I said from the beginning,
fly me.
I said from the beginning that going live is not an easy thing to do, and I don't know what's going on, but something is happening. Why is important to achieve milestones? And that is going to be a great conversation for today. So today is our second year. Today, it's going to be a very special day for Coffee Break Logistics and Supply Chain, because we are going to be with our friends, with our colleagues, people that have been our guests, and we are going to have a fine conversation. That's the only that I know. And hoping that everything is going to be okay from the technical side. We know for sure that the platform is not always working with us, but hey, we can control that, so we are going to have fun anyway. I would like to start with something that is very moving for me. We have a very, very special guest last year, Sir Anthony Abbott. He went to be with the Lord, unfortunately. We were talking about a couple of times in different episodes. We were talking about his book, Crossing the Comite River, and I would like to share part of the introduction that we have when we review his achievement, which it was the book. Also, we count with the visit of her daughter, and so it's going to be fun. So let's start with that. Crossing the Comite River, Anthony Abbott. So we're going to invite Sophie. Let me look for Sophie, and we're going to invite Sophie first.
Hello.
Hello, Sophie. How are you?
Hi. I'm good. Thank you. Thank you for inviting me onto the show, Jose.
Yeah. How's everything going? And let us know where you are joining us from.
I'm in Leeds in the UK, which is where I live. I've just got home from a week's holiday, like literally 15 minutes ago. So yeah, it's 6 o'clock in the evening here. So a long day's driving, but I made it.
Thank you for joining us. We are remembering your dad, and he definitely was impacting my life in so many different ways. How's everything going after he departed?
I was so honored that you wanted to remember him and, you know, play the introduction. And I know he really enjoyed coming on the show, like LinkedIn and doing the sort of live events was a new thing for him to do in his retirement. So it was so exciting. So he really, really enjoyed that. And we're okay. We're looking after mum. We're sticking together. We carry on.
I know that is not easy. How the book is doing, by the way?
Yeah, well, it's still available on Amazon. I can put the link in the chat if anybody would like to have a look.
No worries. I got that prepared, so we are gonna post that.
Oh, all right. Okay.
So let me invite some of our friends that are with us today, and then we are gonna have a conversation. All right. So we are gonna start with our co-host Benita. And also another co-host that is joining us today, Casey. And we have John as well. We have Mr. Bill Stankiewicz as well. We got Ora. Thank you for joining us today. Now we have Lorianne LaRocco.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, these are all people that we've had on in the past 2 years.
Yeah, there's more people coming. I'm not sure, I mean, if technology is going to be able to support all the traffic, but we are going to do our best. So first of all, I mean, thank you to everyone, I mean, just for joining us today. I mean, it's a very special day, as I said from the beginning. I mean, we are celebrating our second year and 100 episodes, and many, many of you have been here sharing your insight and the experience that we have had in this particular industry. I mean, we are talking about coffee break, logistics and supply chain, and we have only experts here. So all over the place, right? Now, the question that I posed at the beginning is why is it important to achieve milestones? And this is only my opinion, as I always say, right? Milestones playing an important role in not only in the personal life, but also in the business life that we conduct, right? In this particular industry especially, which is very dynamic, is something that we are commonly speaking all the time about milestones. When the container arrived, when the container is being put from the port, when the containers arrive to the distribution center, when we offloaded, so on and so forth. So we all know that. And that is important because number one, give us a sense of sequence, order, right? And with that in mind, I mean, we get the sense that we are in the right direction to achieve our final outcome. We got a visitor. Who was it? It was Louis, or it was it's from Casey, because Casey is laughing.
No, that wasn't me.
Now one important thing about the milestones is the celebration, right? Because the celebration is like a transition to something that we don't know, but it's going to be better for sure, or the next milestone. So that's the premises that I have in terms of why it's important, I mean, to achieve milestones. For me, probably the most important part is to celebrate those, And that's the reason why we are doing what we are doing today, is we are celebrating. It doesn't matter how small is that. Progress is progress, right? So let me start with Bill. Hello, Bill. Can you introduce yourself and let us know who you are and what you do and so on and so forth?
Good afternoon and good morning, everybody. My name is Bill Stankiewicz. I work as a supply chain consultant. I'm also a professor at Savannah Technical College. And I sit on three business boards. And just glad to be here. My area of expertise, I'm considered a subject matter expert in logistics. I currently have 27 active projects. And Georgia's doing good in business. And pertaining to life stones, milestones, adulthood and beyond, I'll try to be very brief here. A lot of times people may look at milestones about leaving home, making money, making a major purchase, dealing with a loved one's death, getting married, finding your own way in life, having children. Early on, my father had died at a young age, and I always wanted to go to college. And my mother worked as a janitor at Union Carbide for about 25 years. And basically what happened was to make money, I started working full time in high school on second shift at Armstrong Container as a die setter. I was saving money for college. And when I had enough money saved, once I graduated high school, I attended a two-year junior college and then transferred over to DePaul University and later took advanced courses, you know, getting a bachelor's, MBA, and have always loved being in logistics. So my major milestone at that time was graduating college, making a paycheck, falling in love, and logistics has taken me around the world. I've been fortunate to keep in contact with two of my best bosses. They were like the founders of Eagle Global Logistics, and then they later started, Crane Global. And I still keep in contact with Jim Crane and John McVaney, wonderful people there in Houston. And logistics, I've been able to do projects for the Burj Al Arab Hotel, which is in Dubai, spending time in the UK. Was actually fortunate early on in my career to actually meet Steve Jobs, which is another story in itself. But I want to congratulate Jose and his whole team here at Bonita for what you're doing, sharing the words of wisdom here in logistics. Jose's been a wonderful friend, and I'm here to support anyone in any way. If you got questions on warehousing, logistics, or even if you need warehouse space anywhere within the United States, I've been fortunate to keep in contact with many friends from around the world, and I'm here to freely share my contacts, and I do it for free. That's my elevator speech. Jose, hopefully I didn't take too long.
No worries. I mean, we have 12 hours to do this, so you're good. Yeah. Now, just for everyone information, I mean, he is very humble. Bill is very humble, right? He goes, instead of pronouncing his last name, he goes by Savannah Supply Chain Guy, which is easier than pronounce his name.
That's true.
Bill does something that is amazing, which is helping people to find jobs and connect opportunities. I learned a lot from him. Thank you, Bill, for being here. Now, I'm jumping around the screen, so there's no particular order for me, so don't worry about that. We have Lorianne LaRocco. Lorianne, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
How's everything going? I mean, where are you today? Are you in New York, New Jersey?
I'm working from home today. Yeah.
Okay, that's excellent. Lorianne, probably everyone knows about you, but for those that by any chance doesn't know anything about you, let us know, please.
Yeah, sure. So I am the senior editor of guests at CNBC, which means I put folks on the network and I help reporters, you know, with their stories. Right now, you know, I'm trying to find interesting voices as it relates to the UAW strike. I also cover maritime and trade and logistics for the network. I also am a columnist for American Shipper for trade, logistics, maritime, and I'm also a book author on the subject.
Excellent. How is life today in terms of the logistic war?
Yeah, that's always, it's a very explosive question nowadays. I mean, when it comes to what we do, or what I cover, I should say what you do and what I cover. You know, the big thing this morning that landed in my inbox, and I wrote a story, it's not up yet on American Shipper, but it's something now that we all have to look after, another possible strike over in the UK ports. Unite the Union. Yep, I heard you. Unite the Union is not happy. Back in July, ABP, which operates a third of the ports in the UK, they want to institute additional health measures for the pilots, and they're not happy. A lot of people are afraid they can, you know, lose their job, etc. And so they put their formal request in to start the moderating process. And so you and I both know it really just depends if the employer is going to, you know, really come to the table to negotiate, because we saw last year it really created a lot of damage to the subject. So that's the thing that's dropping today. Other than that, you know, just keeping my eye on the Panama Canal, and then also looking at, I call it peak good season, in terms of just how bad the containers are, and just, you know, if this weakness will continue.
One thing that is good for sure is that we are going to have employment for the rest of our life, right?
Yeah, you will never be out of a job unless you totally stink. So, like, if you lose your job, then there's got to be a reason.
Yeah, we don't want to talk about this.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, let me ask you something, Lorianne. Can you share one particular milestone that you have achieved that you can share with us here?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I was so honored to be, you know, asked to speak about this, because milestones, be it personal or professional, are so important for our development as a human being and for us on our journey to believe and love ourselves. Because without those markers and to achieve them and celebrate them, I think life would be empty. And so I commend you. And honestly, I was trying to make birthday cupcakes for for you, but I ran out of time. For me personally, it's, you know, I've got the different buckets, you know, be it, you know, as a mom, you know, celebrating, you know, the triumphs of my kids, right? Be it their music coming out. My daughter, Abby, is applying for college. So she's my baby, my last one. So there's a lot of mixed feelings there. I'm very excited. And we touched upon this the last time I was fortunate to be on. We made a milestone where we actually, my nonprofit, Embracing Your Past to Empower Your Future, I finally got 501(c) status from the U.S. government by the IRS. And so now I can apply for grants. And so we just got our first grant. And those monies are going towards the Each One, Teach One book stipend. And so the book is coming out on February 6th of next year. And to me, this has been 2 years in the making, and I just can't wait. And then my next big milestone, because I can never say enough is enough, I am trying to work with the economic development team at Africa Town. Africa Town is just outside of Mobile, huge port city. I am working with ITS Logistics, and Africa Town, unfortunately, there's a lot of economic apartheid there, environmental apartheid, and the town's soul has been crushed. And I'm trying to get in there to lift up their spirits, to know that they have worth. And we're going to do a jobs fair to show that logistics is a wonderful, wonderful industry where you can really work your way up. And in some instances, you don't need a college education. And so I am looking to put an educational fair together for them next year as well. So that's my next milestone.
Wow, congratulations. All good news, that's for sure. All right, so we're gonna come back to you in a little while, but in the meantime, we're gonna continue with Aura. Hi, how are you?
Hello, Jose, hello everyone. Thank you so much for having me for your celebration of the 100, the 100 show, the 101.
Yeah, where are you tuning from?
So I am in the South Bay, Los Angeles, so about 20 minutes from the Los Angeles and Long Beach ports.
Oh, we are very close. That's a good thing to know. All right. So,
it's Long Beach ports.
What's that?
Saying the infamous Long Beach ports.
Indeed.
So Laura, probably we are going to be using the same question. I mean, do you have very special milestone that you have achieved that you can share with us?
Yeah, certainly. So 2 past year and a half, I've been lucky and fortunate and grateful to be on an incredible journey. So I joined Blue Cargo 2.5 years ago, and basically transitioning from a background in the entertainment industry. So I was specifically in production, video production, and yeah, I joined Blue Cargo, one of the there's something going on.
Yeah, I don't know where is that coming from, but okay, move along, no worries.
Yeah. So one of the standout moments when I started, after about a year being with Blue Cargo, it was to be able to help the FMC, right? The FMC team with one of the biggest trial in history against Hapag-Lloyd. And that was a significant turning point for me. And then today I can confidently address various pain points, with different, supply chain stakeholders, talk about, different perspectives on what is going on in the industry, approach potential partners, that we could work with Blue Cargo, and then contribute to solving critical challenges, right? Through the marketing, through communication, through newsletters, and those 2 past year and a half, so transitioning from the video production, film, TV industry into the supply chain, while handling and dealing with the family and family logistics. So that was a big milestone. And being able to juggle with both taking care of family while, learning a whole new industry and being confident enough to, that's definitely something memorable for me.
Yeah, thank you for sharing. You need to connect with Lorian because definitely you guys are going to have a fine conversation about all these issues about the FMC and everything else in between. John, thank you so much for joining us. Okay, let us know about you. By the way, John is someone that is joining us multiple different times. I mean, he's a great friend. I mean, he's always sharing his insight, and then basically we are using that knowledge, that's for sure.
Well, just a quick background. I grew up Army, went into the Army, predominantly a military policeman and criminal investigator. The last few years, I was in a logistics unit, and I'd always loved logistics as far back as I can remember. So we had an opportunity to deploy with the unit. They didn't need my job as an MP. They trained me up, and I've been with logistics and transportation ever since. To say that Afghanistan was challenging would be an understatement.
That's for sure.
Fast-paced, detail-oriented. work with Maersk and APL and Hapag-Lloyd, mostly container management, and then shipping the military equipment into and out of theater. Not an easy job by far. I've had many milestones, throughout my life. That's for certain.
Just pick one of the most meaningful, probably.
Oh, I guess transferring from active duty to the reserves back in '96. When you're active duty, that's all you do is Army. But when you go into the reserves, that's when you're able to have civilian jobs, and that's where now I was able to spread my wings and learn a lot more about the world and businesses in general, and making thousands and thousands of contacts. So that would be the most memorable.
Thank you, John, and thank you, by the way, for showing up every single week. We do appreciate that very much. my continuous learning, that's what I'm using John for that, because you always get very good insights, so that's for sure.
Yeah, he does. I learned through his comments.
Yeah, so by the way, we have Ryan here. Thank you, Ryan, for joining us. I'm going to get back to you shortly. Go ahead.
Well, Jose, thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here, and I apologize that I was a little tardy. When I got your invitation to join the 100th episode of Coffee Break Lean Logistics, I knew that I had to work my schedule such that I could be on here with everybody, and I see a lot of familiar faces, Benita and Casey and others. So thanks for having me up here, Jose.
Thank you. What better can be than be here on a Friday, huh?
It is the best. It is the best.
So I'm going to continue with Sophie. Hello, Sophie.
Hi.
When we started, we were talking about your dad, right? So he put together that book, 40 Years Experience. What an amazing thing. I read it, by the way. I read it a couple of times because I'm a very slow learner. So it's not only a reason like that. So you experienced probably the process that your daddy went through putting together this book. Can you tell us something about that?
Yeah. My dad started writing the book in COVID, in the lockdowns. And so, and he just kept at it. And then he was asking, for my advice. And, my mum was helping with, the editing of the typos and stuff. And then it became, well, how are we going to make this into a book? How do you make an ebook? And Christina was helping a lot as well. She was a big encouragement to my dad, initially do it. We learned a lot. I didn't know anything about making an ebook. We made quite a lot of mistakes, but we got there in the end. So yeah, I think if anybody ever asks me to do it again, I'm going to say no. Because it was a lot of work. But I was glad that I was able to do that for my dad, you know.
Yeah. How meaningful was for Tony just to achieve this particular goal to write a book?
Yeah, well, he's written books before, you know. He'd written books about our family history. He'd written a book of stories, the bedtime stories that he used to tell me and my brother when we were little. I don't know how much of them were true or invented, but he had a gang of buddies. This is growing up in rural Yorkshire in the 1950s. They had adventures together, climbing trees, meeting a ghost in the woods, you know. So he'd already written that book. But then obviously this one was very focused on his career, everything that he learned and that he wanted to impart. He was teaching at Huddersfield University for 16 years beforehand. So he said the students kept saying to him, you know, we learn stuff from you that we can't read in a book. So he thought, right, here's the book. So, yeah, I feel like for him, it became his legacy. You know, he really wanted to get that finished. He knew he was ill.
Oh, you know what? Aura's husband went to Huddersfield University.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He went there for 1 year. So he's originally from France, and he did his university in France in economics, and then he had the chance to be spending 1 year to dig a little bit more in like expertise in his master, and so he went to Huddersfield.
Oh,
it's just a very small little town, you know. Not a lot of people know about Huddersfield.
Yeah, no, that's true. I don't know if you know about Doctor Who, it's a big TV show here, that the star of that show is from Huddersfield. You love Doctor Who. She's from Huddersfield. And when she was being interviewed on a chat show, and she said the name of the town that she's from, and it came up on the subtitles for the American audience, spelled H-O-O-D-E-Z, Hooders. I am from Huddersfield. Yeah, it's a little place, but it's a great university, a really strong university, and lots of international students.
Sophie, you know for sure that we remember your dad very much. We enjoy the multiple shows that we did when he was launching the book. I mean, it was fantastic. And it's something that I won't forget, that's for sure.
Thank you. Yeah, thank
He's
you.
Memorable. Yeah. And as we've had Sophie on, the window behind her has gotten darker and darker. So she's like, she's past supper time now. So Sophie, if you don't want to stay for the rest, or you need to hop off and have dinner, we understand.
Yeah, I will do that. Thanks, Benita. Thanks, Jose. It means so much to me that you remember my dad, and I know he'd have been really pleased that I was able to join you today and send you our love.
Of course.
Thank you.
Sending it all back.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye, Sophie. All right. I mean, this part of the history that we have written here. So now we got Casey on the top right corner. So it's your turn, Casey.
Oh, no. Thank you for having me, though. Happy to be here from Savannah, Georgia. I know I see you and Benita often, but it's always a pleasure.
Yeah, now you are part of the house, so forget about it, right?
I know. Yes, I've had the pleasure of getting to come on as a guest and now coming on as a co-host bi-weekly and, you know, to be a part of such a huge milestone. And I think I said this the other day when I was actually promoting this, you know, you're talking 100 episodes of such vast and diverse experience contributing to the industry. You're talking about, you know, 100 episodes of contributing with value of all types. And so that's something definitely to be proud of and celebrating for sure.
And this is the beauty of doing this. Number one is because I have learned a lot. I don't have to go to school any longer because everything about logistics and supply chain, I learned it here. So for me, it's been fantastic. So I have to throw that out because that has been the case for me. Casey is my co-host, then basically I do the intro and she take it away from that point on and develop this whole entire subject because she's an expert in my opinion.
Well, I let Jose try to run with it as much as he can because I don't like to sit and have to talk the whole time. But it's always fun, you know, it's great to be a part of these things. And, you know, like you said, like they're so educational. And I mean, I know I've listened to plenty of episodes that you've done. And it's always something that I can take away from it. And that's, you know, when you sit here and you look at 100 episodes, think of how much knowledge just from so many people has been put out to be able to, like you said, help educate. It's fantastic.
So just tell us one short note about one milestone that has been very meaningful for you.
I don't know if there's one, you know, and honestly, when you asked me this about milestones, I actually kind of took a different direction and saw the milestones that were more, I would say, negative in nature, you know, like life changes that may not have been what you thought, you know, you had planned in your life. And seeing those is actually very positive milestones that cause you to change direction or give you, you know, a stop in what you were doing to go on the purpose that you were destined to be on. So I would say that getting laid off from my job last year was a huge milestone in my life that I'm very grateful for at this point. I know how that sounds, but you know, it honestly gave me a different perspective on who I was, the direction that I wanted to go in my career, the skills that I have to bring, the knowledge that I have, and it gave me a sense of confidence that, you know, maybe I never would have ever gotten. So that's, while it seems like a negative, off, you know, keep in mind that sometimes these milestones actually, in hindsight, turn out to be very positive.
Absolutely. And thank you for sharing that because that's important. I mean, the first reaction when that happened to you, probably you're going to have a different perception, but at the end it's going to be something good. Now, yes. I'm assuming that due to that is when A28 came from, right?
Yes. Yes, it did. Well, and because, you know, some people, AKA Jose, kept pushing me to kind of go this route. You know, like I said, with disruption comes opportunity. I say that a lot. You know, you see that in supply chains, but you also see that in your personal life. And there was an opportunity for me to capitalize on something that was a calling and much greater than myself. And so, so that's why I say now I can look back and say, you know, that was a milestone. It may seem negative at the time. You don't see it as a milestone, but it definitely was a milestone for sure.
Good, good, good. Thank you for sharing. That's for sure. Ryan, so let us know more about you for those that they don't know anything about you. By the way, Ryan is a fantastic person. I got nothing else to say, just that he's a wonderful person.
Oh, Jose. Well, it's always so fun to be a part of anything with you, Jose. I've worked with Jose to do open houses, site visits. We've seen each other and spent time together at trade shows, and then Coffee Break Logistics, another thing that's bringing us back together. And so again, really excited to be here. But for those who don't know me, my name is Ryan Kitchy, and I'm an enterprise account executive for Onward Robotics out of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. We are providing the world with person-assisted AMRs to help alleviate the labor constraint in the market and help people get their goods faster and compete with the Amazons of the world. So I've been in conversation and working with Jose around his own business and around his network to find opportunities to help one another and keep the world moving faster and forward for everybody. So excited to be here, Jose, and I'll give you the same courtesy. Jose is a wonderful person, but I know everyone on this call already knows that. So
I don't know for sure, but keep going, please.
Well, I was excited to participate when Jose sent me this talking about milestones. And I think, you know, Casey, the way you said that, milestones come in a million different ways, different fashions. They can be good, they can be bad, they'd be personal, professional. And then I'll pull in Benita here, more of a minor milestone, but recently finished reading Never Split the Difference. Benita, I know that was part of your book club. That was my own personal pursuit. So
wasn't that amazing?
Oh,
did you enjoy it?
So good. It was a book, Benita, that had been recommended to me, you know, almost a dozen times, and I finally it rose to the top. And then I saw you were posting about it as well with your book club. So it was sitting on my desk. I had just finished it, so I figured I'd throw that one out as a more minor milestone. But
so good to hear. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. And even so, it's just one book, but within Never Split the Difference, there's a million different mechanisms that can help anybody in any facet of their career help navigate difficult situations or confrontations. So couldn't recommend that highly enough. But then on a serious note, I would say from a personal perspective, I just moved in with my partner for the first time. So experiencing what it's like to live with or cohabitate with another person, that would be a big personal milestone for me that I would share that took 30 years to get here. So really excited.
Oh my God. Congratulations, by the way. That's fantastic.
Thank you. Thank you.
So you need to report the progress. And remember, every small progress is a progress, and it's going to get you to 30 years, 60 yeah. years. What is going to be the amount that you're going to count on that?
John, I bet it's going to flash before my eyes before I'll be at 30 years with my partner as well. So it's exciting. Baby steps. Crawl, walk, run, Jose.
Excellent. Thank you. Thank you for sharing. That made me happy. Now, it's a good reason why Benita is last. It's just because she's a LinkedIn rock star, right? But more importantly, is my dear friend. She's been with me for the last 2 years, conducting, adding value to this particular enterprise that we call Coffee Logistics and Supply Chain. And it's been fantastic. So take it away from this point on, Benita.
Yeah. I mean, this is my milestone as well as yours, Jose. I share this one with you because, you know, I remember our very first coffee break logistics and a happy hour. And I remember it just began as like a conversation. And it's like, well, what would you do if you had a show? And I was like, well, I'd probably like have a happy hour, something very casual, you know, like it was during like the tail end of COVID. And what I was missing was, you know, going out and meeting my colleagues on Fridays and just, you know, having, you know, a few beverages and then ending the week off on that. So this was kind of like my way of getting like together and then going into the weekend in COVID. And I don't know, 2 years later, you know, it just shows that you head in a direction and you take little steps. Like every week we just do a show, and 2 years later, look at what we've built, and this knowledge house and these connections and these friends. Like, wow.
And this is a great value that I'm getting from here. Number one, education. Number two, I mean, every single time that we have a Giz, like a Ryan, like a Aura, like a
Ian. Yeah.
We become closer every single time that we talk because we are there, we learn, we exchange. We may not agree with everything, which that's perfectly fine, right? especially with Benita, right? She doesn't agree with everything that I said.
That's good. We can't just agree about everything. That'd be so boring. Yeah. And now we've added Casey to the co-host list. So she and I are doing like every 1 week off and 1 week on. So it's been a real help, Casey, because thank you, John. It's been a real help because I can't with all my contracts that have come up, I can't sustain every single Friday anymore. So it's a really good team, and I love meeting you all and learning from you all. I think everyone needs a coffee mug, Jose.
Yes, no, definitely. Ryan, yeah, there you go. Ryan, I have asked a couple of times for your address just to be able to send you the coffee.
I was just thumbing through my email to find it. I must have neglected to send it to you, Jose. I feel so left out. I need one.
We need to fix that. And that's for sure. Now, by the way, everyone can drop me a line, and it would be my pleasure, just to send one of these. I have a few of them that definitely I can share, especially with friends. I would like to pose a question because probably people with experience, like everyone that is on this particular podcast, right? Every single time that we start something, it's almost granted that we are going to have some issues, right? Or we are going to go through and face a difficult situation. So, number one, this is going to be probably a two-part question. Number one, what is the probably something challenging that you have faced? And what would be a good strategy to overcome those difficult times? So, anyone that would like to pick the first place to start sharing that, that it would be okay with me.
I can go first. I would say that, one of the things is keeping a positive outlook. The biggest thing is like realizing, and like I said, I say this often, with disruption comes opportunity. And seeing how, when you're facing these challenges, what potential opportunities are there for you to be able to actually use and capitalize on, or maybe send you in a different direction. The other thing I would say is leverage the people around you. That's why we have friends. That's why we have networks. That's why we have, support systems, because the input from those around you is super helpful when trying to navigate and taking a collaborative effort. It's the line of this show, right? We're better together. That's the whole thing is when you face these challenges, tapping into those people to help you, collaborate, be better together.
Thank you, Casey.
Let me add, Jose, I agree 100% with what Casey is saying. And I'd want to add, it's important to continue being kind, networking. And, my whole career, I've always been a big supporter of women in logistics, helping a lot of different minority groups to the demise of getting fired a couple of times. There's a lot of CEOs I've worked with, they just don't get it. They would argue, why are you helping somebody in California? We're only in the Midwest, the Northeast, the Southeast. Why do you even talk to those people? I said, well, it's kind of like planting a seed for growing bamboo. You don't see it for 5-6 years, but when it does start growing, you get 3 feet a day. And I've had to leave and also get fired several times because of that. But I've always continued to try to help people, be kind. And what comes around goes around. It's kind of like positive karma with what Casey's saying. and maintaining good networks and snipping those that are maybe not positive or good for you. Everyone I surround myself, like everyone on this call and Jose, are really positive, upbeat people. They're change movers in all the industries. So even besides logistics, I maintain a lot of friends in aeronautics, the chemical industry, the healthcare field. And it's nice, you know, when I since I am a teacher, I get to touch a lot of different industries, and it's fun. So very good question. And like I say, we're here to help anyone at any time. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. Who's going to be next? How about you? Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I can totally go next. So connecting, you know, the dots with the milestone that I that I shared right before is that the most challenging part for me was the steep learning curve, right? Coming from the industry of entertainment and then stepping into the supply chain. So I had to grasp the intricacies of logistics and supply chain and understand the various stakeholders, understand their roles and processes. And so to overcome that challenge, I adopted a continuous learning approach. I immersed myself in industry literature, attended conferences, read, you know, the news, different magazines, and I engage also with experts because I think that is a very important part, right? When you engage and have feedback from expert, like your show, Jose, right? You're able to provide knowledge, different types of perspectives and expertise, and so that's how we keep on learning, growing, whether it's on a personal level or on a business level, right? And so this, at least for me, this thirst for knowledge and curiosity helped me bridge the gap in that, you know, to overcome that challenge. And then to answer to your second question, the key lesson that I've learned in overcoming those challenges is that passion and curiosity can overcome any obstacles. With inquisitive spirit and enthusiasm, anyone can tackle any milestones that comes our way.
Brilliant. Thank you so much for sharing that, because you are right on point. I have only one correction. When you said about knowledge, the knowledge is coming from these two ladies next to me. So I don't have to do anything with that. So those two ladies are taking care of that department. All right. So who wants to be next? Ryan or John? Okay. Ryan is ready to go.
I'm happy to. I'm going to pile on. So I put this in the chat, but I live and die by the golden rule. I try and treat others the way I'd like to be treated. And typically when you do that and treat others with respect and courtesy, you're going to get that in return. And if you go into these situations of challenge or obstacle with that headset, and I think another important thing, having people around you that you trust that are enabling you and pushing you to be better constantly, I feel like complacency is the enemy, right? You're trying to focus on getting better, and the people around that you surround yourself with help you get there. So I would harp on that as just the ultimate thing that I strive for. And when I'm going into challenging situations, I need to make sure I have my head in the right place and that I have the people around me that I really trust are going to be there, not just for my best interest, but the best interest of the problem that we're trying to solve. So that would be my main comment on that topic, Jose.
Thank you, Ryan. I mean, you're very clever. So thank you for sharing that. I'm going to be reviewing this afterwards, because definitely I need to practice most of these recommendations, that's for sure. By the way, before we are going to continue with John, the team prepared some sort of a short video displaying, most of some of the interviews that we have, some of the shows that we have. So it's going to be like a 12 minutes long, so you can watch it then after, but it's going to play after we say goodbye, but just for your information. So go ahead, John.
You know, I don't think it's any coincidence that we're as strong as our weakest link, and the fact that we're all in logistics and supply chain in some form or fashion. I always like to take a holistic and or global view, you know, of that axiom. We're not in this business to do it by ourselves and for ourselves. There's no way we can survive as a business person or as a human being if we were completely insular. We have to rely on others to get these done. I posted in the chat that we're a mutual admiration and support society.
Thank you.
Got to live our lives and work with that.
Thank you, John. So we are getting close to the top of the hour. So I don't know. Let's have final thoughts, and in that way we are going to have enough time. I mean, just to be right on time.
I'll close with this, Jose and Benita. Thank you for your continued pursuit for bridging the gap and bringing people together. I think it's admirable what both of you have done, and I'm excited to see Casey getting more in the swing of things. We get to see her on a weekly basis with her 2-minute clips. So keep doing what you're doing. You guys are shining a light for the entire industry, and it's only going to get bigger as we go forward.
Thank you.
Yes, I want to chime in. Thank you so much for the time you spend, you know, the hours, the coffee break together. And I'm very excited for the journey that is ahead for Coffee Break Logistics and Supply Chain.
Congratulations, Jose, Benita. Keep up the good work. Casey, we'll look forward to many, many more shows. And may God bless you and your families.
Thank you, Bill. You're a blessing for us, so thank you. Keep doing what you're doing, by the way.
We try.
Okay, well, should we end it and go into the video? Like, I can't wait to see this video.
Okay. Video. So I would like to close with this. This is coming from Zig Ziglar. And it's right on point. I mean, basically, when we are talking about milestones, in my opinion, right? Because many times, I mean, we are waiting to get everything all together. And in the same way that we started this 2 years ago, where we have an idea and then we develop over time, right? So we don't have to be great to start, but we have to start to be great. That's my final thought. I think that is important. I mean, if we would like to achieve any milestone, we need to start with that thought. As always, as we said, I mean, Casey beat me up on that. Is definitely, I truly believe that we are better together because we win together. And with that in mind, let me start sharing the video that the team prepared for us. Of course, it won't work the first time, but if I put...
Truly, a real committed to diversity and inclusion, and it lives beyond just words on paper, or beyond just a letter to our employees, or beyond just a webinar and something that could live forever. I didn't have the idea yet of the rainbow container, but I just knew that we needed to do something. So I gave him a call and I said, look, what do you think we should do? And he's like, well, should we paint two containers?
First-hand stories and experience to the students there. And that was in, I think it was right about 2006 that I did that and carried on until COVID came out. So I was about 15 years altogether. And I told them stories of my experience. And each year, the students would say to me, Tony, you tell us stuff that's just not in books. You want to write a book. So it took me a while, but I got around to writing a book which encompasses over 40 years of work and business experience, the problems working with people from many different cultures, languages, backgrounds, and working in places where you had to use your own initiative and solve problems. And then what I thought was I can explain this to the students who benefited from this.
I went to basic training. I was an enlisted man. They said, if you add 6 months to your commitment, we will make you an officer. I said, no, I will give you 3 years. And that was all I was going to do. Well, the people that were drafted all got sent to Vietnam. I was an enlisted man, and so I got second worst duty, got sent to New Jersey. So I went off to New Jersey at Fort Monmouth, North, New Jersey. Okay. And I worked for the facility engineer. He was a colonel. I was a private. No one knew I was in the Army. I had longer hair. I had civilian tags on my car. And I basically ran the fort of Fort Monmouth from a maintenance and repair perspective. Okay. We had 400 maintenance people. I had a large warehouse. I had a large budget. And I learned a lot. So it was totally different than what I wanted to be doing. And at the end of the month, when they paid me $280 for the whole month, I didn't feel very well rewarded. But I actually learned a lot. And my boss let me do consulting. And so it was a great experience. Sense.
So when they go through it, and it's all those aha moments that get me excited, because it's really not that hard. It's literally tracking the containers and just putting yourself into the shoes. If I'm sick, am I going to be working a truck that day? No, you're not.
Right.
He's such an inspiration. I mean, I'm listening and I'm wowed at really listening to you. And you're so touching.
Oh my gosh, thank you.
In many cases, I left those companies because the money's not worth it. The money's not worth it. So, but logistics has been very good for me. I enjoy what I do, and I'm at the point in my career because I'm able to give back so much to these nonprofits and get people into jobs. And it's a lot of fun.
What is the biggest lesson that you have?
Personally, I would take it as allowing yourself to be adaptable. That's how it is. And looking at the bright side of where things are. Because of that, I was still going back and forth that this is difficult for me. It's a change from California.
In the way that you should be.
But the ideal sales cycle is when the customer is willing to converse with you through this. When you have a what I call partner in crime type relationship with them, open, transparent, mutually beneficial rapport.
Laugh, even to say, I am so scared. Oh my God, I am so scared. It really helps.
Okay. So, go ahead, Vanita.
I just wanted to read something from the audience that Peter Ryer said. He says, courage is never the same thing as fearlessness. The courage proceeds in spite of fear. So thank you so much for having the courage, Irina, having the courage to just like, you know, talk to us from a different place. We feel so helpless to, to you Ukrainians, and you stand
by. On a corporate level, you can look more into like your impact on what you're doing as a whole and what changes can be made that will be environmentally friendly. So it's not difficult, and it's not as technical as it sounds. If I can figure it out, anybody can.
An exploration about what's going on. But it's hard, right? I mean, most companies don't work really quickly in terms of adopting new technology. It can be, especially a larger corporation, it can be a years-long process to change something out. And a lot of times they've invested in something that works fairly well, and they're not ready to rip that out and start all over again. So
one person, right? They want to make the most of their time and get as many contacts as well. So getting their LinkedIn and
getting their LinkedIn or contacting them on LinkedIn prior to the event and saying, hey, I'm going to such and such a place too. I'm really excited to meet you in person. And like maybe comment on some of the stuff you see on their posts or what they've done in real life, like their body of work, what have you. And then ask those good questions. And remember, like the networking doesn't stop after the event. The networking continues to every single day after the event. And so put these people on your contact list and continuously go through that list.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. And we are hearing this from a LinkedIn star. Okay. Understand that. But I mean, it's only me, right?
What is it?
It's the market.
That you don't understand is that the billing for the
yeah. That is exactly correct, because I mean if I issue an invoice that is not accurate, I'm gonna be in a huge trouble in my company, right? So
yeah, they won't like you. The customer won't like you if that happens. The customer won't like you if that happens.
Yeah, they're gonna fire me, right?
But if the ocean carriers
too high, then they're gonna suit me.
Yeah, but so the ocean carriers are kind of like,
and you know, as I think it was Eric had touched on, like you're gonna be able to see through when someone doesn't know what they're talking about, right? But even still, like I still come across posts of people, you know, where they'll say like this is the surefire way to do this, or this is the exact way to do that.
Using manual carts and paper, they might see a good bump by automating and getting away from paper and inserting RF guns. RF guns are a form of automation. Even paper is a form of automation outside of just using mental recall. Right. And then you kind of inch up, and after you go from RF picking, you get into this voice picking zone, right, where you can get automated.
When it was ordered, when it was picked, how it was packed, when it is going to be delivered, providing that end-to-end transparency. Anything exceptions happen, how is it being recovered, right? And how is the others mutually learning as well? The manufacturer looking at it on real time. What is happening to the product? The carrier looking at it real time. So all entities looking at it real time. So what we are trying to solve this is the fragmented data, the inefficient processes that is happening, and people are calling, phone, and coordinating, and how we make it more dynamic and interconnected is what we are trying to solve, right? So what we provide from an OSA commerce perspective is we provide a one unified commerce tower, which enables whether the brand, the retailer, the service provider, or the carrier, manufacturer, everybody in the ecosystem looking at a single point of data in a one in real-time perspective. Mm-hmm. Encapsulate the connectivity problem. We provide demand channels to connect all the demand channels in a simple, easy way with pre-built integrations, so make that journey simple. Two, provide ability to connect with all the entities, solving the interoperability problem, whether it's a demand channel, carrier, and fulfillment sources or manufacturing centers. Ability to collaborate among all the players. So if an order comes in, everybody looks at the order in real time. Everybody knows when the order was picked, what needs to be picked. If somebody has required for customization, show the pack station what is need to be customized. All the dynamically enable that execution. Connect to the transportation last mile to find the optimized way to ship the product, deliver the product. And also if the returns, collaborate also on that one, right? How soon you can get the product, get the disposition and done. And then fourth right. So centralized data view, decentralized execution by all the players for an effective solutions for all our customers, all their customers.
Comprises of, you know, an international agent and then a US agent, but you've got that process. It comes overseas on a carrier, on a shipping line. It lands here. It is handled by a customs broker, handed over to a drayage broker or operator, brings it into a warehouse. So there was a lot of people in the stack, and COVID even more than ever, because people that were formerly mortgage brokers or doing something else were rushing into the space because of the demand, the consumption demand across the world. So we came in and really tried to own, as we've always done for decades, own each layer of the supply chain. That was a big value proposition for us. An example of how we solved problems were trucking. If you remember, there was a trucking pandemic of its own, labor shortage and port congestion. We set up our distribution hubs at the ports. And Jose, you're a big help there because we operate inside of your facilities that are work near the ports. And rather than, you know, servicing a customer base in the middle of the country, we tried to service the shipping problems by being in the exterior or the perimeter of the country. So these were ways that we were able to get containers out quicker, or ways we were able to bring down.
Can you help me out here? And oftentimes I see people throwing out words and using terms without really understanding what they're actually meaning, what is actually standing behind. So I think we are both on the same mission here in terms of educating people and shine a light on knowledge that they need, that they require, that they also require not only on the daily business, but also in terms of how to reshape the future with everything being shaking up these days so fast, literally overnight. I think that's really, really a vital point. So, yeah.
Well, I think that, like you said, right, it's one of the things that really goes into play here is, you know, I'm so fortunate, right? I created my niche some 35 plus years ago. You know, I have these.
And then piece it all together with how to proceed forward. And I will say that, you know, you may come up with a solution that ends up not panning out. And that, I mean, that happens, but that doesn't say that the solution that you came up with or how you improved your process is failing. It just might indicate that you need to make small changes. And that's what the controlling or measuring aspect after the fact is for.
In other words, darling, kiss me. Fill my heart with song, let me swing forevermore. You are all I long for, all I worship and adore.
That was great.
A lot of memories, that's for sure.
And it's cool to watch back and think of how much time has actually passed and realize it's been 2 years, or even for me, like I remember the first time I was on a year and a half ago, and like think that's been a year and a half since then, you know. So I think that's so cool to be able to just see, because I remember a lot of those episodes and watching them myself.
Yeah, I'm not kidding when I said that. I mean, especially when you achieve, let's say, for example, I mean, we are talking about the 100 episodes, right? If I have to look back, man, there are so many things that I have learned, probably so many things that I never do again. Unfortunately, I keep making the same mistakes, but that's me, right? but I'm hoping that I'm going to be improving. That's excellent. That's beautiful. I mean, it's something that I appreciate very much. I mean, especially you guys allow me to be in contact and learn from you. That's for sure.
Yeah, thank you so much for putting this together, Jose. Thank you all for coming. I'm going to have to head out too. I have a meeting.
We are in the same situation, that's for sure. Thank you, everyone, for taking the time. And I'll see you next week. 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Ciao, ciao.
Thank you. See you.